This is Phil Ferrand. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I think we're getting close. I think we're getting close to having my dad moved in. We moved him in on Friday. That all seemed to go fine. We got a bunch of stuff pulled over. And then the Maranatha people were kind to come and help us move furniture. And this week has consisted of running over in the evenings and doing a little more here and a little more there. We finally got a desk in for him on Wednesday. I put that together last night. Got his computer set up. A little bit of sadness because they have wireless, but we don't have any Ethernet ports. I could buy a little wireless thing, I'm sure, that would convert it into Ethernet, but so far, about the only thing he really needs Ethernet for is I built him a Bible. That's an audio Bible, and it has big icons. I put it on my website, philferrand.com/Bible, and so he uses that. Well, I couldn't get his XP computer set up, but he did do a bunch of, for internet, but he did do a bunch of writing today, and so that's good. And so we had another computer that we bought with a touchscreen. We're going to try that. Of course, everything has been powered down, especially the little computer with the touchscreen. Everything has been powered down. So then you power it up, and it connects to the internet and goes, oh, updates, you know, and then it's like hours and hours. Hours. So, there you go. But anyway, so that's all. Seems to be going fine. It's going fine. Work is good. Work's fine. Puttering along. Getting some things done. Et cetera, et cetera. So that's all good. Writing is good. I did hit my 80,000 words, or it just squeaked into it. Came into it on Monday. I supposedly was going to reread through that, but then let's see. Tuesday. Something, something. The week is a blur. Tuesday, something with Dad, and then Wednesday I was putting the desk together, so nothing there. Tonight, I've got a bill for the month, so nothing there. But I am at 80,000 words, which is where I wanted to be. And then tomorrow, at some point, I'm going to cut over and start editing on Book 8, Accounting House. So far, everyone who has actually read the book has seemed to enjoy it. So, hey, it's not like last time, which I knew last time was going to be a little rough, but I had to get some pieces in play, and I had to say a few things that needed to be said. So I said them, now we're moving on. So that's all going well, and I think I'm about halfway through Book 9, and it's fine. It's fine. The book is setting up so that there's basically three stories in it. There's a longer story at the beginning of it. It's about 40% of the book. And then there's a little kind of quick story that's about 10%. And then there'll be the final story, which will be about half, and a few little subplots along the line. So I think it's going to be fine. It'll be a reset and a restart because now, you know, you really have to kind of drop back. Don't use all your best stuff. Because now we're going in for another 8-book run, and, you know, we have got to have some place to build. Can't just be fortissimo the whole time. You got to have some place to build. So we're going to kind of drop back a little bit and then start accelerating again. So it should be fun. That should be fun. I left my notes at home. But I think I've got enough that I can jabber for another 10 minutes or so without too much trouble. It's very interesting. I've been sort of watching the Monica Lewinsky story. I remember when it happened. I remember the uproar that it caused, you know, and the condemnation and the shaking of the fist and the arguings and all that kind of stuff. And I remember even at the time that I was thinking, you know, look, this is a young lady, you know, she made some mistakes, and of course she was painted as the vixen. Oh, she went after him, and I'm thinking, yeah, no. But Clinton, you know, obviously he got some priorities in life, and one of them was sleeping around, and so, you know, maybe she was willing, but that doesn't mean he had to. But I've just been watching that story, and it's a really interesting story because of how much destruction that wrought, and how even 20 years later, and it is 20 years later now, because this article was pointing out that some date in there was like 1998, 20 years later, we're still revisiting it. And it's been interesting to watch Monica Lewinsky's progression through all of this. You know, a couple of years ago, she was talking about shame and guilt and those things. And now she's written another article because of the Me Too movement, you know, that kind of spawned. And it's 20 years. You know, I've said this about other things, but if these two people, Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky, could have just looked forward a few years, if they could have just been kind to their future selves and thought, so what is this going to cost in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years? What is this going to cost? Would they have still done what they did? I would venture to say that the answer is no. I would just venture to say that. But of course, that's what the flesh's tactic is with us. It convinces us that the right now, that what we can have right now will just be so awesome that it'll be worth doing it. And whatever consequences we think there might be, it does a very good job of convincing us that, oh, the consequences wouldn't be that bad. If you had told Monica Lewinsky that 20 years later people would still be talking about this, that they would still be shaming her for what she did, wow, I doubt she would do that. Granted, she was starstruck, and what's interesting now in light of the Me Too movement is that 4 or 5 years ago she wrote an article where she said, I want to be very clear, this was a consensual arrangement, I agreed, I did it. But of course, now that she has some more time on it, she's looking back and she's saying, well, I was really young, I really had no concept of, you know, what could come of this, what might happen because of this. In essence, she's saying, look, I was young and stupid, and Bill Clinton was a lot older than me, and he should have known better. And there is truth in that. It's also true she made decisions. She decided to press forward. But her outlook of the world, her way she thought about the world, was far divorced from reality. You know, I've said it before, but this is one of the reasons that I will not cold open in Walmart. I won't, hi, how are you today? Won't do that to just a general shopper who is between 16 and 30. Because in their world, 35, in their world, every man is dangerous. Every man is looking to inseminate them. Every man is a potential attacker. And so it's really better if I just act like they don't exist. Because that's their world. Is that world true? No. No, it's not. But that is what is. And it's so interesting because Monica Lewinsky talks in this article about how she was young, and she said, I understand that people always talk about, you know, owning your desire and taking what you want and all that kind of stuff. But she also talks about how that she really didn't understand all the ramifications of that. And I thought, you know, well, here's a novel idea. Maybe young people shouldn't just run off and have sex. Specifically, maybe young women shouldn't just run off and have sex. There's a comedian, Whitley something. And I heard her talking about the fact that she said, when I was in my 20s, she said, I was just doing crazy things. She said, I look back on that now and I'm thinking, what were you thinking? Because 20-year-olds, early 20-year-olds don't have their brains all formed up. And if you promote an agenda where everybody should just have sex and do whatever they want, you can guarantee that that's going to create huge swaths of destruction. It's going to create destruction in the lives of the men who are sleeping around. It's going to create destruction in the lives of the women who are sleeping around. It is destruction. Because what happens a lot of times is those subsystems do exactly what they're designed to do, and that is make babies. So if you just have people that are, and you can say, well, people are on the pill, well, they're using contraceptive, well, yeah, sure, but none of that stuff is 100%. Making babies. Because that's what their base subsystems want to do, and that's what the flesh is really interested in doing, and so it's amplifying that. And when you get a subsystem as powerful as the reproductive drives, and then the flesh camps on top of that and amps it up, yeah, we see what we see today. And for all their freedom, all it's doing is laying down a path of destruction. And man, when you look, Monica Lewinsky said in this article that in 20 years, she did the research somewhere. Maybe she's just made it up. I don't know. We'll assume she did the research. She said in 20 years, there has not been a single day when there hasn't been mention of her affair with Bill Clinton somewhere in the media. 20 years she's had to endure that. She said she was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. She said it was an unreal number. The first week after the story broke, I think it was the Washington Post, she said, had done 150 stories. She said that, I think it was Ken Starr, they had threatened her mom that if she didn't testify, they'd do this. They had threatened her dad. I mean, there just was just, yeah. Destruction, destruction, destruction. All for a little bit of pleasure across a few days. And then they paid for it. Cost Bill Clinton his reputation, cost him his presidency, cost her, at this time, 20 years of her life. Getting my mail, one moment, for a little bit of pleasure. You know, and there's other ways to get that pleasure. And you can get it without involving anybody else. Package. I can't remember what this is. Anyways, so yeah, it's very, very interesting. Just to see. And I say all that to say, I think we do, as I've said before, a huge disservice to our young people by not sitting them down and actually giving them tools that they can use to understand what's going on. This is going to be so interesting. I am 3 weeks away now, I think, three weeks away from actually having my next meeting with a young couple. And I'm going to give them as much as they can take. You know, and try my best. I mean, it may be one of those things that's going to go in one ear and out the other. And Dad was fond in weddings of telling a story about, or not in weddings, but telling stories of weddings, where he said, you know, you sit there and the preacher is trying to give them advice and say, you know, you're not always going to get along, and they're just looking at each other, and all the people in the audience are nodding, and they're just looking at each other, and they're not even hearing it. Yeah. Because in my interpretation, what's happening is all of those hormones are ramped up, and it has drugged them up, and everything just looks like it's going to be so spectacular. And there can be such a wonderful depth to relationships. There can be. But if the guy is only getting married because he's interested in having as much sex as he wants, which is what he thinks is going to happen, and if the woman is only interested in getting married because she wants to have children, she wants to have someone protect her while she has children, which down at the base of it is probably why she thinks she's getting married. Well, she's not thinking that. She's thinking how wonderful he is. But at the base of it, if you're just going on hormones, that's what's going on. You know, that stuff is all going to change. But, you know, all I can say is as we sit here and we watch these stories of destruction, and there are stories of destruction going on around us all the time. As we watch these stories of destruction, maybe we can chat with those who are close to us and have real conversations about what the reproductive systems are doing, about what the flesh is doing in addition to those things. And maybe we won't have to wait to get into our 40s and 50s to realize that some of the things that we did in our 20s were stupid. And maybe we won't have to be closing in on 60 before we come to some understanding of men understanding women and women understanding men a little bit better. We just should do better. You know, we can do better than we're doing. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.